Welcome to episode 8 of the Eat the Evidence podcast, a show for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and on today's episode, I chat with Shannon Orr of 1211 Bakery in Sherman, Texas, all about her cake, cookie, and baked goods business. Some wise words from Jackie Kelly, a cake formation from Kendall Kuzik, plus we wrap up the pie challenge from episode 5 with Lynn Webb of Taste Dart in Abilene, Texas. So, whether you're up late working on all of those tiny details, desperately trying to get the post-creation mess cleaned up, or breathing a sigh of relief as you drive back after a successful delivery, let's get this show started to celebrate your art and this whole industry together. With me now is a very talented and super sweet cake and cookie decorator who owns her own custom sugar arts business, Shannon Orr of 1211 Bakery in Sherman, Texas. Welcome, Shannon.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going good. It's hot. It's so hot here. It's ridiculous.
I bet. I left that region. even with the air conditioning, I'm sure it's still a challenge to do everything.
Yeah, it hasn't been too bad. It's worse like in the afternoons. I tried the baking because the front of my house is brick, and so it's just the whole like front of my kitchen is an entire oven if I turn on the oven.
Do you look for ways to not have to turn the oven on?
Oh yeah. Yeah, constantly. But you know, I also need to get paid, so then that defails.
Right, because you're not just selling
I'll have to turn it on.
You're not just selling a big cakes. You've got your various brownie iterations and things going too.
Yeah. I've had to slow down on the market because of that, because it's just so hot. Everything, I work the farmer's market, and it's just too much because everything starts melting out there now. And so it's like, I'll come back in September or October when things are chilled out a little. So I've cooled down on that. And then, you know, almost all my cooking is from the crock pot right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. I know that feeling. I saw that on your page that, and we'll link to your page and everything in the show notes, but I saw that you were listed as fully booked through September.
Yeah. September has actually been partially booked since April, May.
Wow.
It's so weird. It's like they just skipped over the summer and people started booking, and October's halfway booked now. But then I also have competition coming up for Oklahoma, and so I've had to make sure that I've scaled back some time to work on my pieces.
Mm-hmm. What is the amount that you're doing? Because like I said, when you look at your page, it's like the brownie stuff, but then also the high-end decorating stuff. So are you churning out tons and tons of stuff every day, every week?
It varies. Like if I have a bunch of custom orders, I won't do any markets or festivals. And I will just focus on that. And it's usually everything I do, I think, is really detailed. And plus, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I got to make sure I have time for my priority on that. And I can do maybe 2 or 3 cakes a week, or cookies, like cookie sets, just depending on how many. If I can get by with 1 cake and 1 cookie set and then do a market or festival, that's like probably a normal week for me.
Wow, that is a lot, especially with a little kid in the house.
Yeah, she knows too, man. She tries to steal those cookies. I'm like, Mom is working. That is money. She's like, cookie. And I'm like, no, money.
She'll take both. I mean, let's just be clear.
Yeah.
She'll take both. She'll get right. Like whatever you've got, but... I was speaking with Sarah Weber last week, and she has the magical unicorn household of none of the rest of her family coming after her cakes and cookies.
Yeah.
That's not my house.
Yeah. She's one and only right now. But, you know, she's nice enough that if you give her one, she'll come and share it with you.
Oh, so, that's sweet.
Yeah, it's really sweet. I'm like, I can't believe you're an only child. I was an only child, and I wouldn't share, so.
Maybe if there was another one in the house who actually wanted some, she would rethink that strategy.
Probably. I don't know. We're not going to talk about that, though.
No, that's a terrifying prospect right now. You have a 2-year-old, it's like, wait, because my older one, when she was just over 3 and started going to a preschool when just short after we moved to Austin, she was going like just 2 days a week. And it occurred to her that other kids have siblings because she encountered that at preschool. And she asked, I was like, nope, mm-mm, nope. You're not having one anytime soon. Nuh-uh.
See, she's supposed to start that like the 2 days a week from like 9 to 2. I've got her like starting that in August. So thanks for the warning. No, thanks.
Yeah. You just want some time.
I just need a little more time to work on stuff, and then I want her to have more kid-on-kid time, you know?
And of course, once your kid's in school, it's not like anyone hits you up constantly for bake sales. Oh, wait, that's totally what's going to happen.
Oh, there's a lot of warnings you've had for me.
There are a lot of warnings.
You need to write all these down.
That's right. The stay-at-home baker mother's guide, or parent's guide to how to say no when the school says, can we have something? I actually said no this week. I was, you know, really proud of myself. Someone at the Austin K Club years ago talked about her no button being broken. I'm like, oh my God, my no button was never even installed. But my no button was functioning this week because I just wasn't feeling well, which people might be able to hear in my voice. Last week, my husband was out of town and I wasn't getting anything done. I mean, I got the podcast done, but I wasn't getting much else done. And, you know, volunteer work was on the, everything was just coming together. And then by the time we got home, I was sick. And I have this whole foot injury thing I'm working on. And so then when the nursery school asked, I think they asked on Sunday, could we please contribute to a bake sale for Wednesday? I was like, okay, hang on, let me put some more stuff in my grocery cart. Like, and so I put it, I thought, okay, my go-to for emergency cooking that is dead easy and I generally don't have to buy things for is the Snickerdoodle Blondies from the Brown Eyed Baker's blog. But I did need to get something in the cart because I didn't have any unsalted butter. Or I have some scraps in the freezer, but not enough to do a whole pan. But it's a really easy recipe and it tastes good. And like, it's, you know, I can do the whole thing from start to finish, including baking for like 3 hours if I got them warm. You know what I mean? So yeah. I was going to do that. And so I had a grocery order coming in on Monday and I got some unsalted butter in it. And then by Monday afternoon, I was like, I really need to do this and I really don't want to and I'm not going to. And then by Tuesday afternoon, I was like, I can just say no. I'm just going to say no. I've baked all year for this school and I'm just going to say no. And that was the same thing was the end of the year. And so I thought, well, I was going to bake teacher gifts because that's I usually give cookies, right? Or or some kind of baked good for teacher gift. And I was just like, you know what, guys? I'm really sorry. I will bring you something in September. I know Robin won't be at your school anymore, but I'm walking right past your because the preschool is like vaguely attached-ish to the primary school. So I'm going to walk past it anyway. I said, you know what? I'll just bring you something middle of September because Robin will be in school all day and I'll have time. And they're happy with that. And in fact, so at the bake sale, I bought stuff and it came to like $2.50 or whatever. And I just handed them a five and I wouldn't take change. And they're like, are you sure? I'm like, I didn't bake for you. Just take five. And I realized I had this epiphany of if it only really effectively cost me $2.50 every time I could have baked, I should have just given them $2.50 every time instead of slaving.
Here's the money. Just take the
money.
That's
right. I should just start giving them money instead of...
And that's all they really want.
That's all they really want. It's the money. In the money. Anyway, but I've been looking at your amazing bakes, that IHOP cake you did.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't for IHOP. They just had their birthday party at IHOP. And so it was like the older guy. I just wanted to make sure, like a couple people said, I did it for IHOP. I'm like, no. But they had it at IHOP, but they were really excited over there. It was fun.
It was fun.
It was so fun.
That egg.
Yeah. It's like I was working on that egg and I posted it on Facebook and I was like, I'm really proud of this egg. And like a lot of my friends didn't get it because they thought it was just an egg. Like maybe I just figured out how to fry an egg. You know, I'm like almost 40 and I just now figured out how to fry an egg. And I'm like, no, it's sugar. But you know, that's like the best compliment in the
world.
It
is.
And like I was really even more proud of it then. I was like, I had to go back and like caption it, but this is not real. This isn't a real egg. I just worked really hard on trying to make it look real.
Oh, you nailed it, because I was scrolling through and I was like, why is someone posting a picture of fried egg? Hang on, is it Debbie Gord? No, it's Shannon, and she's thanking Debbie for advice.
And just like slightly, well, she'd given me advice a long time ago on a frog cake that I was working on. And she told me she didn't like to give out advice or anything, so I don't ever ask her. She's just amazing, you know?
Yeah.
Debbie's amazing. And I worked on this frog cake and I wanted to make it better. And so she sent me a message, like PM'd me. She's like, look at a real frog. Like get like a toy frog and sit it on something and look at it. And that's how you should work when you're trying to make something look more realistic. And so I just, like, that's the only piece of advice she's ever given me. And I've totally like treasured it. And I remember that every time I'm working on something. And so like, I was studying lots of pictures of fried eggs. Like it's ridiculous, but like the colors and the shadings and all that, and it paid off. And I just, it was that one thing that she said to me, you know. And I don't know, her stuff is always phenomenal. I really think she's sold her soul to the devil. I'm not sure what's going on there. Like I can't even imagine to be a fly on her wall, but
Yeah, the towels. I keep coming back to the towels.
the
The towels.
towels.
Oh
Yeah,
my
I told her, I
God.
was like, I don't believe you. Those are real towels, and you're fooling all of us. This is the biggest Andy Kaufman scam since Andy
Right?
Kaufman. Yeah.
I just like I won't even be surprised if she comes back and goes, "Yeah, okay, everything but the towels." We all be like, "Yeah, we knew that. How are those
Yeah.
possibly cake? How is
Yeah.
that cake?"
That's I still, yeah, all of it, man. And then she did the one for the grocery store, and it was like meat in a package and everything. And I'm always floored. I'm always, always, always floored by her.
Yeah, me too. I
So.
worship her, and every time she talks to me and is feeling, upset or stressed or whatever, I'm like, yeah, do you know that you're Debbie Gord? Do
Right?
you know that
Doesn't
about
like.
yourself? And
Like every
she,
now and then, I'm like, you're Debbie freaking Gord, you
yeah,
know?
we should, we're not worthy. We're not worthy
Right?
doing the Wayne bow. Yeah. But yes, you also nailed that egg because that was amazing. And I mean, the pancake cake was also good and the bacon name also good, but like, I can't get over the egg. The egg, it had me fooled for a second, and I see a lot of, faux food.
That's good. That's awesome. I'm so happy to hear that.
It was
I wish I
amazing.
would have kept it in a way. Because I know it's probably in the trash somewhere.
No, someone probably bit it.
I hope so.
Someone probably
I
bit it
hope
because they
someone.
had to see. They had to see if it tasted
Right.
eggy.
It's really sugary. It's like
Yeah.
straight up fondant.
I mean, people try the flowers from time to time, right? People, particularly at weddings, I've seen, not even cakes I've made, but I've seen people try to bite the flowers because they want to prove to themselves that it's a edible thing. And you're kind of like, wire, wire,
Right.
watch over the wire. But when it's a faux food, I think there's an even higher incentive to stick it in my mouth.
I had like one of the very first cakes I made was for a friend, and it was for her son, and it was like a car coming out of the cake, and I made it out of RKT, and it was all super hard and had isomalt lights and everything, you know. And I made it to where he could keep it if he wanted to, and I thought it was really cool and that maybe he tried to keep it. It wasn't that great because it was like one of my first things, but I still thought it was cool at the time. And being the boy that he was, he ate it anyway. And I'm like, even the isomalt? She's like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, check his teeth. Your eye work on those parts before I bake the cake and like the fondant accessories and stuff like that, usually. So they're pretty hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I was first doing cakes, my goal was to have hard fondant fingers because I didn't know anything about internal structure. And I mean, other than toothpicks. And if I was serving to kids, I
Yeah.
tried to minimize the toothpicks. So, back in the Nevada days, I never bought fondant. I didn't even have a place to do it. I mean, I think the grocery stores by then maybe were carrying just Wilton White, and maybe Michael's had Wilton White.
Yeah.
It was expensive for what it was. So I would just, back then, I just made my own fondant and it dried crystalline rock hard, but that's what I was going for. And then kids would still bite the heads off the figures.
Yep.
Yep.
Daredevils.
Yeah. It was clear that it was half the fun. In fact, at Peo's 8th party, that's right, because it was a Pirates of Penzance theme and I made gold coins instead of saying pieces of eight, it said Peo's of eight. That's why I can remember it was her 8th party. Yeah.
Ha
So I made a Pirates of Penzance cake for her because she was obsessed with that at the time, and it was based on the modern Major General, and it's all the things he knows about in the song. So it had some figures on it because he talks about various people that he knows about. And Caractacus, because he knows all the details of Caractacus's uniform, which turns out to be a loincloth, which is that's why it's a joke. He knows all the details about a simple loincloth,
Oh.
right? So everything in that song is a double joke. But I put this like loincloth dude on the cake. And you haven't seen anything. Like, I mean, don't even talk to me about Lord of the Flies until you've seen four or five, 7 to 8 year old girls pulling a figure off and chanting, eat the head, stab him in the crotch, stab him in the crotch, eat the head, stab him in the crotch. And I'm like, whoa, okay, all right, you guys do what you're gonna do. And they're all dressed as
Wow.
pirates and they're like dismembering and beheading this figure and chanting about it. It was
And that
glorious.
was her 8th birthday.
That was 8th. Yeah, this is another warning for you. They get violent. But you channel it into fantasy and then it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll work on that.
You tell them to put it on. I mean, let's be honest. No kid in my household is going to grow up completely normal when, like, mommy puts fake edible delicious chocolate blood inside of cookies.
Yeah.
We're artsy people. We're raising artsy kids.
Yeah, I know.
And we're slightly nerdy.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Oh, she's weird already. Like, yeah, I love it. I mean, just like, she does weird things, make weird noises. She always wants me to do weird things with her. And I'm like, I love you. I don't know. You're definitely our kid. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's not like you've ever been known for taking C-3PO around to cake shows.
Right, I don't know.
I love C-3PO.
It's so funny.
I love the C-3PO thing. We'll have to find a link to one of your C-3PO posts.
There's, like, people that have met me. Like, I didn't bring them. I went to the Day of Sharing, and I accidentally left them in the car. This is actually my kid's toy.
Oh.
And so I left them in the car with her toys. And I go in, and I'm, like, talking to people, and they're introducing themselves. I'm like, we met. And they're like, we did? And I'm like, C-3PO. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, you remember him, but you don't remember me. Like, even Timbo. I met Timbo at Austin, and he took a picture with C-3PO. He was so awesome. He's so nice. And then I see him at San Antonio, and I, like, fake introduced myself to him. It was a joke, and he was serious. I'm like, dude, we totally met. We talked for, like, 10 minutes.
I've had to say to some people on Facebook in advance of the Austin show, like, okay, even if we've talked on Facebook for a year, 10,000 people are going to come up to me. Okay, it's, you know, not 10,000, but, you know, Austin gets 4,000 yeah. people easily in that show. And so it's right. a big show. And so, it, you know, it, thousands of people are going to come up to me and say hi. And I've met, like, maybe 2,000 of them on Facebook. And I'm not going to remember who you all are. Mm-hmm. You know, I recognized you. I saw you at Austin. Wasn't the last day? Weren't we cleaning up?
Yeah, and it was like, it was very brief because, like, you were talking to somebody and I knew you were there and I couldn't find you. And I just went ahead and I was rude and I interrupted you just to say hi.
Yeah, no, so I don't think
we finally officially met. And yeah. then I saw you again later when you were cleaning up, but we were both pretty swamped. So.
Yeah, it's such a busy show.
It's crazy. It was awesome, though. It was probably one of the most fun shows I've been to.
Yeah, it's my favorite. I mean, you know, obviously I keep coming back.
You're a little biased.
A little biased. Yeah, this podcast is really just an official outreach advertisement for the Austin Cake Show.
Right.
That's all we're ever doing. We have to start planning that now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rounding up the people doing kids' classes, and very exciting. We're going to have Sam Plant teaching other kids. You should bring C-3PO around. You should do a whole, like, promo thing on C-3PO going through the Austin Show. That'd be awesome.
I will.
We can get him a press pass.
Okay.
I literally can make that happen. I can make C-3PO a press pass.
You have power.
I have power. This is my official note to myself. Make sure C-3PO has a press pass.
We can do this. You don't understand the links of nerdiness. I will go. It's fine.
Yeah.
We can do this.
We'll have to pick it up from Irene. Well, I'll make sure Irene's got a press pass for C-3PO. That'd be hilarious.
Okay.
And you can just do, like, a whole photo spread. And then see it works if anyone says they don't know you. Because, like, it is if they don't know that you're Queen of Texas now.
Right.
Yes. for our listener audience, in a exhausted Facebook nonsense one night, I declared Shannon Queen of Texas.
Please don't do that. There's a lot of queens of Texas after me. I will take Queen of Texoma. We can do that.
You were queen of whatever was actually in that paper you were holding up. That was.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. That was actually Dallas. That's really
was Queen of Dallas? You're Queen of Dallas?
That was Queen of Dallas, yeah. But I no longer live in Dallas. I live, like, an hour away from Dallas now. Maybe an hour and a half if you hit traffic. sometimes 2 hours.
Yeah.
It just depends. But I go to great lengths for sushi, so it's worth it. But there is no sushi out here.
Morning, Kim. It's Jackie Kelly here. I'm having a lovely simmy ice malt day. But what is it about ice malt? You pour it into the mold, it's dead easy. And then you want to stick your finger in the hot sugar. Give it up. What a day.
Oh, yeah. Self-care is bliss when you get it.
Yeah.
Sitting down is good.
I always go over that. I always forget about that until, like, I've actually like broken down. And my husband's like, stop. He is my no button. You were talking earlier about not having a no button, and he's my no button. He's like, no. I'm like, okay, all right. If we're there, if we're at that point where he actually has to step in and say something, I need to take a break. So
yeah, I mean, mine doesn't say no to me because he likes life, but but again, see, being a pacifist, just not talking like one. He's the encouragement of like, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, that's.
He's constant dummy. You don't have to do that. Particularly when it's for my friends, right?
Yeah.
Because this is a big thing. I like to, because I'm not having to do it all the time to pay a bill, I like to experiment, and I experiment on my friends. They eat the evidence, right? Because sometimes mm-hmm. I just want to try make it, because I'm not going to, you're not going to do a sale cake for the first time when you've never made that style or you've never used that tool before, right?
Right.
So I often will donate cakes to, you know, school charity or whatever, or I will make it for my friends. And I don't consider that the same kind of work because I know I can screw it up. I'm free to screw it up. If it's messed up, it's free for my friends and they don't care. But sometimes, sometimes when I get stressed, it does take my husband to remind me, you're making this for your friends. Like, you can just make half it. You can, you know, you can do it halfway or not put another tier on or not finish airbrush, you know, you can always finish airbrushing because that's 30 seconds. But yeah, so like this past week, because I went to my friend's house, we watched Game of Thrones coming back on. And originally I was going to make like a, you know, a throne cake or something. One of those things that people make, right? I want to do one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every year and it never happens.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then, like I said, my husband was out of town and I was getting sick. And so, the project is getting lesser and lesser and lesser in my head. And my friends are like, you know, you don't have to bring anything. You could bring a bag of tortilla chips and that's fine. And I'm like, no, right. I got to make something. And then
that's how, yes, it's an obsession. I totally feel you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I ended up I thought, what about dragon egg cookies? Like, is there a way to do the scales? And I found several pages had done like a thing where they basically just made an egg cookie and then layered on some smaller cookies on top as scales and baked it. I thought, aha, reasonable science. Those are all American recipes. I have a British cookie recipe because the butter and flour are different. So it doesn't always work swapping back and forth. So I thought, let's try this British cookie recipe I've been having really good success with. Let's see if that does. Do they fuse or do they all just pop off? And I'll when I felt a little into it, I thought, okay, I'll take this only one step higher instead of having to ice it, because I know my friends like this base cookie. It's very shortbready, so I knew they didn't need icing. I thought, I'll tint some of it green and some of it purple, leave the rest of it sort of natural, and then I'll just airbrush sparklies on it. And it totally worked. And everyone, of course, they're all like, wow, it's amazing. I'm like, no, it was crazy easy because I didn't even have to ice the cookies, right? It was a weird feeling. Oh, the cookies are baked and they're finished.
That's it.
Yeah. I guess I airbrushed them. But, oh, and I tried a new product. It's not new. I've had it in the house for a few weeks. I tried Dinky Doodle Airbrush Glitter. So it's not just pearls. Yeah, it's not just pearl spray. It's actually airbrushable, edible glitter. And it was amazing. It was so sparkly. I was very, very happy. Because you think airbrush, you know, you can't have big bits. They're going to clog your airbrush.
Right.
I need to post a review of it because it was really, really good. My one quibble is the bottle, the lip on the bottle is too short. So when you're trying to pour it into the airbrush cup, it kind of dribbles down the side. And then I thought, is it just this one? And so I had another, I bought that at the same time that I bought some of their bronze because I didn't own any bronze. And I realized, oh no, the bronze is the same. So I love the airbrush. They need a better bottle though. And I had an older bottle of like 2 years old, a bottle of their pearl spray. And that had a straight twist off cap. And that poured in just fine. So I think they've upgraded to this dropper cap, but it's not a good dropper. But the product inside is really good. So yeah, I mean, definitely and no, they're not paying me to say this. I'm trying to get Don on the show, but nobody's paying me. I bought these myself, guys. This is not like a paid ad. So the glitter spray, I tried, I will post this. I took some pictures, so I'll post this on the blog eventually. But I did one of the green eggs in glitter spray and then another green egg in the pearl spray. So you can see the difference. The pearl is very, like, it's very whiting. It makes it very washed out white, which, I mean, is sometimes what you want with pearl. But the glitter is truly just glitter. Like, it's just added glitter and it hasn't changed the color. It hasn't lightened the color really at all. So it's actually really cool.
That's nice. I'm going to look into that. I've seen some of these, like, pump sprays that spray out glitter.
Yeah.
I haven't used any of them.
Nor have I. I've only ever dusted them on.
Stance on glitter.
I like glitter because it's pretty, but I mean, you know, there's that whole thing between what's an edible glitter versus what's not. And I don't mind a bit of disco dust on a thing because, you know, it doesn't hurt you. My bigger problem with disco dust is just becoming the, and that's not just that brand. I mean, the ones that are plastic. My bigger problem is that we are overusing plastic as a society. And so I'm like, maybe we should just be moving more to the gelatin ones because they are actually edible. Right? But they're not as shiny. They're just not.
I know. And it's like trying to explain that to some people. I don't know. There was a lady not too long ago that was doing these Dallas Cowboy strawberries, which is bad in all sorts of forms and ways. But she was dipping them in like disco dust and they were just covered. They were covered in plastic. And and it is, I was like, why would you do that to that strawberry?
Strawberry awareness. Like, I mean, I like it. I've got some. I've bought some the rainbow disco dust, right? The stuff that looks all rainbow and sparkly. It's so pretty.
But, yeah, it's really, really pretty.
But it shouldn't be all over something that's actually going in the... Again, if you're going to put it on a figure and someone eats the figure, then whatever.
They're on their own. Yeah.
But yeah, the actual edible stuff. Of course, what's edible for you and what's edible for me are two different law sets.
Oh, totally. Especially, mm-hmm. And then you look at like our FDA approvals anyway, like so many things that are approved overseas, they have more stringent rules than America, but the FDA rules are different here.
Mm-hmm.
It's very annoying. And I explain that to a lot of customers that want certain things. I'm like, this is not FDA approved here as an edible source, but it is over here. And they're like, I don't care. Like,
yeah.
I eat red food dye. I'm like, okay.
The two good examples I have are the roll chem gold, like mm-hmm. some of these golds that are approved in Australia and where it's South Africa and Australia or whatever, and then once they got EU approval, then it's approved, you know, here in the UK at least for now. Oh my god. But but that could change. I mean, if Brexit actually happens, do all of our food laws change? We don't know. It's actually everything's up in the air. But for now, the roll chem gold is considered food safe here, but it is not considered food safe by the FDA. And
right.
I know that's one of the things I've heard people on that side rant about is that there is no metallic dust in the U.S. that's fully food approved, like edible, marked as edible.
Right.
It might be non-toxic, decoration only or whatever, but yeah. And on the flip side, I really love AmeriColor. And again, that's one of those disclaimers. They've never paid me anything, I swear, but I love my AmeriColor. And several of the AmeriColor colors here are... For a while, they were craft use only. So you could buy them at the cake shops, usually mm-hmm. just the big online ones. You could buy them from cake supply shops, but they had them separately labeled as craft use only. It was because the EU way of labeling the ingredients of the colors, they don't have to specify all the different types because they have these E codes or whatever. Whereas because the AmeriColor had listed the specific kind, it was triggering a thing of that specific kind isn't allowed. So you could have a competing product here in the UK that had the exact same ingredients, but because it didn't have to label it, it didn't trigger the no, you can't use it. Okay. And so then they backed it off. And so now some of them are labeled that. So it's not that you can't put it on your cake, but you have to give a warning that it may cause hyperactivity, which is actually based on a flawed study. No color actually scientifically has been proven to cause hyperactivity or be a problem for ADHD or anything, any of current color. I mean, the ones in the 50s maybe, yeah, but the current ones, none of them have. There was one bad study that was, you know, a whole different kettle of fish getting into the science
of
that.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, but because the EU was convinced on one study, now all the AmeriColors that have those particular tints in them, you technically have to label your thing as may cause hyperactivity. But if you use the UK product that's got the same ingredients, you don't have to say that.
That's exhausting.
It is exhausting, so I kind of honestly just don't.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, because I'm not actually selling that much anyway. Mostly what I'm doing is donating anyway, and... The people who are going to be upset because this has blue food coloring in it, they're not going to care whether it's AmeriColor or Sugar Flare or Rainbow Dust. You know, they're not going to care. So if they're offended, they're offended. They're already not going to eat it. It's like, all right, fine, then don't eat it. because you can't, how are we supposed to keep up with all this? And then it changes.
Yeah, it changes constantly. I just doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Just doing what I'm doing. If you have questions, ask me. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, it's all in your court, but
yeah,
it's crazy.
I mean, I'm totally on board with allergen labeling, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That's not even a question. I do that when I don't even have to. I print out, for a school bake sale. I made those ice cream cone cookies a few weeks ago. I printed out a little label that was not only what I put in my cookies, but I, you know, copied and pasted the ingredients. There was some satin ice dark chocolate fondant on there. I just copied and pasted those ingredients and put them on there.
Right.
Because
people's babies.
Then people can see, oh, well, I'm, you know, allergic to this or whatever. Because I have food allergies, so I know. I mean, mine aren't listed.
Yeah.
But so I'm totally on board with that. But when it starts having to say, and now you have to warn for this, and now you have to warn for that, and now we're going to change it, and if you used this product last week, but now you can't use it. Oh, God. Ugh. We just want a cookie.
Right? It's too much work. I just want a cookie.
That's right. Where's my cookie? And again, people who have allergies know to look. I mean, you don't walk through life with an allergy casually.
No. And that's another, if you have a severe life-threatening allergy, you're going to make a big deal about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would hope.
Yeah, well, so I was at my WI meeting this week, and I made a very simple, again, I booked in November that I would bring the cake, and then it turned out to be, I'm just overwrought. So I, the big fancy cake I had planned downgraded to a pie of chocolates and strawberries. So it went super basic. But we had a visiting member from another WI, and someone came up to me and said, oh, we need to know, does your pie have any nuts in it? And I said what I always say. No, but I do not have a nut-free kitchen.
Yep, that's what I say to you. Because every now and then I'll make something that actually has no wheat in it or gluten. Because working at the markets, everybody's like, you need something that's gluten-free. And I'll be like, this is gluten-free, but I do not have a gluten-free kitchen. Everything exactly. I make is in the same area. I was like, so if you have a severe food allergy, don't buy it, you know. But a lot of people are just, it's a diet-based paleo thing.
Yeah, and if that's, then that's their bag, and that's fine. But yeah, right. I mean, I know Celia. I mean, I have a friend whose daughter is, she called in on a previous show talking about the cake that I'd made for her. But she is very, very celiac to the point that, you know, even many gluten-free products are not gluten-free enough.
Right.
So this kitchen can't be gluten-free. It just can't.
No, I don't make sugar-free cookies. I don't make strictly gluten-free anything. I'm not an allergy-free place. I tell that to people all the time. I had a friend that bought sugar cookies for me, but they had a child that was staying with them, and he had a severe peanut butter allergy. Like, you open a jar of peanut butter and he would break out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I am not a allergy-free facility. I'm like, those cookies, I've made peanut butter cookies in my bowl. I'm like, yeah, I've washed it and everything, but I'm just letting you know, if it's that bad, I would not risk it.
Yeah, well, and even if you cleaned your kitchen, like crazy scrubbed your kitchen, are all of the other products you bought nut-free and nut-free factories?
Right.
So, that's why I respect people who do have these. I know Kendall Kuzik from our Austin Cake Club, she does serious gluten-free stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because she herself, I'm not 100% sure, so Kendall, don't be mad at me if I'm wrong. Like, if I was still in Austin and someone needed seriously, absolutely, 100% definitely gluten-free, I'd send them to Kendall, because we know people who do it right. But yeah, there's no way. I mean, I could make you a cake that has no wheat in it, but my oats are stored beside wheat.
Right.
You know, when I'm making my own pancake recipe, it's whole wheat and it's oats, and I try to remember to scoop the oats first, but I've had them both open beside each other.
Yeah, I won't ever guarantee things like that when it comes to somebody's health.
Yeah,
you know?
Especially if it's a kid.
Yeah. Oh my God, no. That's yeah. I'm really strict about that.
I mean, I have such sympathy and empathy for that, because, you know, my allergy is capsaicin, so it's hot spices. And I lived in Austin.
Yeah. Have fun.
Yeah. Oh, and also I'm a teetotaler who does, you know, I don't drink. And so, like, Austin, everything's soaked in alcohol and spice. I had such a hard time eating in Austin. Like, people would talk about hip restaurant in downtown Austin. I'm like, oh, looking at their menu going, nope, 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 nope. Maybe that one, but probably not if it's fried on the same grill.
I'll just eat that corn chip.
Yeah. And then it'll turn out to be a corn chip that's, like, got some kind of jalapeno baked into it or something. And
it's like, hardly, like, Chipotle corn chip.
That's right, yeah. So, yeah, I understand and respect it, but that's part of why I'm saying I can't do this for you, because I'm like, I'll make you a cake topper that you can put down on some kind of paper to make sure there's, you know. But God, what a horrible, horrible thing to have to do is to try and be completely gluten-free or completely nut-free, because, man, everything's got something in it.
It does. You just never know.
I'm Kendall, and what I want to hear at 2, 3, 4 a.m. is, here's a mocha. Get me my coffee. Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah.
Anyway, you should tell our listeners about your experiments with brownies, because, you know, those of them who can eat wheat should be licking their screens for the delicious things you've been making.
I've got, like, yeah, I'm really surprised by the brownie thing, because I like to experiment with them. I have, like, one base recipe, and then I just do whatever I want with it, because I'm crazy like that, I guess.
Crazy like a fox who has brownies.
Yeah, right. See, I got one. It started with I call it the Texican brownie, because I use Mexican chocolate in it, and I use pecans, which is like the Texas state nut, and I thought it was just so funny calling it the Texican brownie, and I'm really nerdy, but anyway, it's really good, and it was so hard to get people to want to try it at first, because it does have some spice to it. I'm not allergic, but I am super sensitive to spicy things, mm-hmm. and I'm weak. I don't know why I'm in Texas. I've been here all my life, but I'm weak, but this doesn't bother me, because there's, like, chocolate. The chocolate kind of neutralizes it some, and you can still have the heat at the back of it. And once I finally got people to try it, because, you know, like, where I live, nobody likes to eat anything that's not fried, I think. And I'm in Texas, it's okay. I don't blame them. Chicken fried steak is really good.
Oh, I miss chicken fried steak. Oh, my God.
I love everybody, okay? I make fun of everybody, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But they finally try it, and then I've got people looking for it. And I'm like, okay, so this is good. Like, once you finally get somebody to eat it, and then they're just like, hey, did you make those? Did you make those? And so I got excited, and then I just started experimenting more. Like, I have the s'mores brownie, which is just brownie with graham cracker crust and marshmallows on top. And I have a lot of women friends from that. I make a lot of women happy. So, and there's, like, you know, like, mint chocolate. And then I just start throwing cookie dough in the brownies, and have peanut butter ones. And I call them Buckeye brownies, and chocolate chip cookie dough throwing in them. And I don't know, I just try to keep coming up with other ones. I've got some other ones on my plate, but those are a lot of fun. There's, like, I mean, I can just whip out a batch of brownies in no time, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're good, and I'm happy. And if I don't sell all of them, I'm okay with that, because then I get one, and I have to sit there staring at it throughout the whole market, and, like, just looking at that brownie, and I'm like, I'm not going to sell that one. I'm not going to sell it, and somebody comes and gets it, and I'm so sad.
Cool. Wait, you haven't taken your quality control sample off from the top?
I have been known to move one to the side.
Yeah,
I'm desperate. Desperate sugar tooth cravings have hit, and I'm like, I'm gonna eat that brownie later. Like, oh, the sea salt caramel ones, yeah, those are vicious. I can't fight those with turtle ones.
They can see into your soul.
They can. They're part of my soul. They're all rich and dark, but I'm not rich. I just wish I was.
Really, you have
a brownie cookbook, and then I'll get rid.
Oh, dude, you should make a brownie cookbook. You can indie publish. That's a thing.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to. Okay. Speaking of someone who's had fiction traditionally published by small mm-hmm. press and then went indie, I sold more books indie than traditionally published small press. Now, that's still not very many books, and I'm not going to make a living or a monthly rent payment with anything.
Right.
But no, I mean, like, I've done some for the blog, you know, I've done some little PDFs and stuff. And It's not that they sell well, but, you know, it's not even enough to adjust my tax bracket, but I sell a few PDFs here and there. I mean, if you put a PDF together of your brownie recipes and put it out for sale for, you know, depending on how many recipes are in there, you know, $5 or $10, you'd probably sell a few. And like the trick is to drop the price for holidays and then really advertise it when you drop your price.
But then everybody could make more brownies and no one would buy them from me.
You'd think, except that, you know what, the people who are coming to the market aren't the ones who are buying your PDF. It's your cake friends who are buying your PDF.
Yeah, that's true.
Because those people,
I always forget that. Like, there's people that don't want to bake, and I forget that. I'm like, there's people that just aren't into that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and that's why they come to you.
That's right. This is what I keep saying to people. Well, because like I'll post on social media, I'll say I'm having this plumbing problem and like, you know, just like, you know, oh, I got to do this or I got to call in the plumber. And it's always some guy, of course, it's always some guy coming to mansplain to me why I should just DIY this electrical problem or this plumbing problem. And I'm like, no, especially when it's electrical and it's hooked up to the mains. I'm like, I understand electricity enough to know that it hurts. So I'm going to hire someone to do that. And it was driving me crazy for years because they would always say, don't hire. Why are you just hire? Just do it yourself. You're supposed to be an independent woman. Just do it yourself. So you know what? I tell them now, I'm like, all right, I'll do my own plumbing. You build me a 3-tier cake that doesn't fall down. Go.
Right.
And they're like, well, how do you do that? I'm like, yeah, we know different things, don't we? Uh-huh.
Independence has nothing to do with that. It's about knowing what you can and can't do and you should be able to ask professionals to do it.
That's right. There's nothing wrong with someone buying a cake from you, and there's nothing wrong with you paying a plumber because your back hurts and you really just don't want to go on the underside of your toilet.
Right.
That's not, like, why is this never a problem? This doesn't offend my feminist sensibilities to hire a plumber and bake cakes. I'm not, like, I'm a perfectly realized whole human being who can do these things. Like,
I can change my oil, but I don't want to.
Exactly.
It's worth it to pay somebody else to do.
Exactly. I mean, I took a course on basic auto maintenance. I know how to take apart, you know, okay, granted, it's a 20-year-old course, so, you know, a 20-year-old V6 engine. I know how to take it out. I know what a gasket is. I know, you know, I know what a fuel injector looks like. I know what a spark plug's for. I know these things, but I'm not going to do it myself because I want a professional to do it right because I'm not good at it.
Right.
I mean, I even just said this to Jessica from Pies Are Awesome, who I had on a few episodes ago, because we were talking about how it's totally legit to buy pre-made pie crust if you want to buy a pre-made pie crust. I know how to make real pie dough, which is why I don't. Because if you're going to get it right, you've got to hydrate it. You got to know, you know, use as little water as possible. And technically, you're supposed to do alcohol, but I'm alcohol free, so I won't. I know how to do it and hydrate it and sit it in the fridge. But I could also just pay about the same amount of money and buy one and have it in the pie dish and it's done.
Yeah, I make my own pie crust too. And if I ever like try to get like pre-made pie crust, my husband tries to give me crap about it because he likes it. And I'm like, then you make it.
That's right.
And then I'll make the pie because that takes about like an hour off of making the pie.
Exactly. Because if you've got a pre-made, this is what we were talking about with Jessica. If you've got a frozen dough in your freezer, and you go to a farmer's market or whatever, and you come home with like way many more apples or strawberries than you were expecting or whatever, you can now make a pie with dinner tonight, and it's not going to take you that much more time. But if you had to plan and make that dough and let it sit and hydrate for 2 hours, you're already too late. So it's not, I mean, I do sometimes make my own dough. Peo makes her own dough. We just had a WI bake-off thing. Oh, and we're not supposed to call it bake-off. What did we, pudding-off. My friend hears the pudding off. I said pudding off. I didn't say bake off.
Pudding off.
Totally didn't use the copyrighted term bake off. Anyway, pudding off. We had a pudding off. And I used pre-made pie crust for the pies category. And Peo made her own dough because she learned in school how to do that. So, you know, props to her for doing that. And I also said, you can do that, but you have to clean up the mess.
I'll tell you, my in-laws, they cook a lot. And he likes my mother-in-law's pie crust recipe a whole lot, and he goes on about it often. And then we bought pre-made pie dough to make quiche because my in-laws have a bunch of chickens, and they kept giving us so many eggs at the time, which is really awesome, by the way, for baking the market. So we made them quiche to thank them, and they were going on and on about the pie crust, and it was store-made, and they usually are big snobs about that, and we never told them that it was store-made. And it's like this big secret that we got, because they're like, you just make the best pie crust ever, and it's just Pillsbury.
That would be a good Pillsbury ad, wouldn't it be? Oh, don't tell them, but it's Pillsbury.
I told my husband, I'm like, don't tell them. I'm just go on thinking that we just made the best pie crust ever. Because my husband's a really good cook, too. And so we had a good laugh about it. It's one of our personal jokes.
Well, it's good that this podcast only has like about 100 listeners, so they're never going to hear it from here.
No. They don't even do internet.
I think your secret is safe with us.
Yes.
until random cakers start now coming in and blackmailing you, you better tell me I know your in-laws. Give me your brownie recipes or we're going to tell your in-laws.
That's so wrong. I'll totally give you my brownie recipe.
I didn't mean me. I'm blackmailing you. I meant like other people on Facebook would blackmail you. I'm not going to blackmail you. I declared you queen.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's right. I'm queen of Texoma. You cannot blackmail me.
No, that's right. That's total immunity to that. That's the law, people. Podcast law.
Podcast law.
If Judge John Hodgman can make up podcast laws, so can I. Oh my God, that thing you just made? That was amazing. You are so good at this. So what you got coming up for the next couple weeks?
Really, I have some basic cookies decorated. It's kind of slow. I'm going to be working more on, I'm in a couple of collaborations. I need to work on those pieces and I can't talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the competition pieces, which I'm crazy. And I signed up for 5 entries in the Oklahoma Sugar Art Show.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Do you know that you have a 2-year-old? How are you going to get 5 entries done? Oh my God.
Yeah. Apparently it's okay. It'll be okay.
You're consoling me over your 5
myself, entries. You know, and then like the week before I'm covered in a rash and my hair is falling out. But then like you get there and shit, you get extreme high.
Uh-huh.
I did.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll only show up with 3 pieces. You just made a bunch of money off of me. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think I got it. I think I can do this. So
I'll root for you.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
Thanks. I need it. Yeah, you want to come over and help me?
Sure. Pay for that ticket.
That's I'd trade you. If I could afford a ticket to come here, I'd be coming there.
Yeah. You come on over for NEC, which I haven't. I've paid for my hotel, pre-booked my hotel for NEC, and I have booked my Cake Masters Awards ticket. Yay, I got one of those. But I haven't actually registered for the competition yet because I'm trying to decide between 2 different things. One would be like a figure, which is 1 category, and I could start it now, which I'm totally not going to do, but I could start it now. And the other thing I'm thinking of, they have a new category called Pushing the Boundaries. And you know me, it's like, whoa, could I do a flexible chocolate thing? Could I do a flexible stained glass thing? Because, you know, people here haven't seen that stuff. So I'm like, oh, but see, good. But that stuff can't be done too far in advance because it stops being flexible after a couple months. And I really don't want to do it in the heat of August with no air conditioning. So I'm debating back and forth, but I have until early October is the deadline to actually register. So, and if I wait that long, then obviously I'm not doing the thing where I'd have to start now.
Yeah.
But part of it is, how much do I want to bite off just knowing that Robin's starting full-time school? Like, am I going to not have as much time as I think I will? So maybe this time I should do something not as hard. And then if it turns out to be easy, then next year I can do something more involved. That's a theory.
That's a theory, but nobody ever goes by those theories.
Yeah, no, I should just sign up for 5 things. And oh,
you need to take care of yourself.
Yeah, well, the thing is, and this is what because, you know, you shouldn't bake when you're actually, you know, infectious, obviously.
Right.
But I have so many health problems that always end up manifesting in these things that sound infectious that aren't. You know, also, I wash my hands, like, constantly to the point of bleeding. If I'm working with fondant, you can tell my knuckles will be bleeding because of how often I wash my hands and because it pulls the water out of your hands. And if it's winter, just forget about it. I'm going to have cracked knuckles and everything. But I do try to assure people that, no, I just have a, you know, I'm immune compromised and I have children and allergies. And yeah, at any given time, I'm going to have a lung infection that isn't anything that I can pass on to anyone. But it sounds horrible.
Right.
Also good for podcasting.
Yes.
Because
you have a distinct voice.
Yes.
My 2-year-old is is craving me right now, and I'm going to have to go, Ken.
That's okay. I just realized it's about an hour anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's been really fun, but, like, Dad can only handle so much training.
I feel your pain. I'm just so glad we got time to get you on, and we'll do that again. And you know you can call in. You called in already. You're one of my first call-ins. Yeah. Yay, Shannon.
Yeah, I was. Because I was just like, I'll do it. I don't care. Just throw it to the wind. I'm trying anything. It's like my rule for the year. Try it once.
Awesome.
So hopefully that jumping out, you know, from a plane later is going to work out for me.
And it didn't hurt, did it, to leave a call-in? So others can do it too.
No, it didn't hurt. It was so easy. It was seriously way easy. And you can totally edit anything ridiculous that you say by accident.
Yep. So. Well, thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. It was so cool. I was really excited to thank you so much.
I have to ask one quick question because it's been bugging me. Why is it 1211 Bakery? I need to know that. Why is it called that?
Wouldn't you like to know? I'll talk to you later.
Okay, next time.
All right. Hey, to continue.
That's our part two. Yeah. Okay. Well, now we have to have a part two.
Part two.
Yeah.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. In episode 5, Jessica Lee Clark Bojan of piesareawesome.com and I issued an informal challenge to listeners to try making a decorated pie of any kind, any skill level, just to play around with this as a fun new edible medium. We didn't get many entries, but Lynn Webb of Taste Dart in Abilene, Texas posted an utterly gorgeous pie with a scrolly floral topper, and she's here now to talk to us about it. Welcome, Lynn.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so glad to have you on because I know you were one of the early encouragers of this podcast.
Very excited to have it and see all kinds of issues coming up.
So, yeah, your pie was gorgeous. I think even if we'd had more entries, which we sadly didn't, it still would have been amazing. It was really pretty, but not overdone. So, and obviously I'll be posting a link to a picture of it. Do you want to tell us how you made it or how you got into it? Anything about that pie?
Really and truly, this was probably the cheapest, simplest, cheesiest pie I've ever made. I used the store-bought crust and a candied pie cherry. I wasn't feeling good. Just put it all together. But just even using the pie crust, cut the top with a very sharp tool. I needed to use a sharper kitchen knife than what I did. And I used just the point of it to make your scroll designs. And you want to be able to cut it all the way through and through. And then I used my piping tip, one of my larger piping tips, to cut the circles and did 5 circles, overlapped them, slightly moistened with water, rolled them into a coil, and just pinched them in half. And I had buds using the scrap pieces of just 2 pre-made pie crusts.
That's genius.
And it took very little time, very little effort to come up with something that was a little bit different.
It was just so pretty. I mean, that's part of what Jessica was on about, that you can use the pre-made dough. You can buy a pre-made pie even and just put a separate crust on top of it. You don't have to be an expert in this. And if you happen to be an expert who wants to go to the full lengths, you can.
And there's so many products out there now. We were talking earlier with all the molds that you can take it and just mold some pie crust that bakes really, really good. You can do the different borders on it with very minimal skill. A lot of the different things. You can make the different molded pieces, and when your pie cracks, then you can just drop on your different pieces. Specifically, every year for Thanksgiving, my pumpkin pie always gets one crack in it, or where I insert the knife to make sure that it's done. Well, what do you do with that hole? You can just take a few of these simple little embellishments, put it on top of your pie, and your pie has gone from something we see every year for Thanksgiving to a whole new level without being... That was a 10-year project. At Thanksgiving, at Christmas, when we want to do something special and we want to have a pie for those that don't like cake, who knew that they existed, but they do, and take it and have something extra special for them besides just the plain, simple pie, and it takes very little additional effort.
Yeah, which is definitely at those seasonal ones so important because you got 10 other things going on. But yeah, if you could just knock something out, you're making an impression because we don't always bring a 3-tier cake to events.
Not always. And the great part about it, doing the, like with the molds, we've taught our kids how to play with a Play-Doh. They've got a mold, put in the pie crust in it, roll it in there, get them to make the different embellishments. So specifically for the holidays or to help make dad's special pie, they can help make these things just like they do with the simple things, put it in their freezer, bake them, and they can help make a cake, get them occupied, get them involved in the kitchen and turning the family events into family events. Not the quickest, cheapest thing that I could buy at the bakery and bring home and get family back into family.
That's right. Because, yeah, I mean, and again, you have so many options because this can be Aunt Betty's secret pumpkin pie recipe that she's handed down to you and you're going to make it and now the kids can decorate it. Or it could be a store-bought pie that the kids can then decorate. You have options for play. And who doesn't want extra play that is edible art?
And it's fun. Really enjoy making it. And you can do so many different things, adding the egg wash to it. Our house, we don't do a whole lot of eggs. You can use different oil washes with it. You have the egg washes, a basic water wash, a simple syrup on top of it, and take it and get different colors. You can dye the different washes and add color to your pie tops and make it colorful, more exciting. I just think it's a fun way that it's quick, it's simple, and to have a more elaborate dessert.
Yeah, well, you did an amazing job. So definitely, I think you are reigning pie queen in our audience right now.
Well, I can't wait. And I challenge everybody to come and try again. This time, summer being with what it is, the heat in the kitchen, that it's so busy with the kids home from school. Maybe not everybody had a chance to bake a pie. We're getting back into pie season, the holidays where we get a chance. Encourage your kids to get in the kitchen. And bake a pie. Let's see what everybody has to offer.
Oh, so do you think we should reissue the challenge?
I think we should reissue the challenge.
Okay, so what should we make it like another month's deadline from this episode?
I think we should have a November pie. And everybody present one by November. I don't know.
Yeah, we could do that. We could make it a long-term thing. Sure, we could do that. We could make it. Should we make it include Thanksgiving, like so that a pie by the end of November?
Exactly. Back to school pies, your Halloween pies, anything.
Cool. Let's do that. Still don't think I'm going to have a prize or anything, but I mean, maybe I could think if there aren't enough entries, I'll think of a prize, some kind of small prize other than the glory that you clearly are now enjoying of being on the podcast. Thank you so much for being on and I hope to talk to you soon. And we will definitely issue this challenge.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
A special extra thanks to Lynn for participating in the first Eat the Evidence Challenge and for issuing our second. I'll set that up in the Eat the Evidence community on Facebook and post that in the show notes, and you all have a wide open deadline to come participate. And check it out! This is the first episode where nobody has mentioned Mike McCary. Whoops. Oh well, now that I've mentioned Mike, I'm going to go ahead and replay his message from last episode about his cool new cake class, because I've had the privilege of being in Mike's classes before and can assure you he is one of the best teachers out there.
Hey everybody, it's Mike McCary here, and we have something new we're all very excited about. We call it Cake Prep, which is a series of multi-week courses held at my shop in Seattle. Each course is designed to be a complete start to finish on a particular segment of cake decorating, with class sizes being kept small at a limit of 6 students. Our first offering is going to be a 4-week course all about cake sculpting. So if you email us at cakes@mikesamazingcakes.com, I can send you a complete outline, and we hope to hear from you.
Do you want your class, event, or new product to be mentioned on the show? Then, just like the ad said when we were young, be like Mike. You can be like Mike and leave me a Facebook voicemail about your upcoming events or classes or cool new products you have for sale. Basically, I'm offering free advertising to my early listeners. Right now, the audience for the show is only about 100 or so people, about half of whom are in the Central Texas area. But I'm gaining new listeners from around the world every episode. And new listeners often go back and listen to old episodes. So if you plug your distant event or products on the show now, you're basically getting a free permanent ad. When the audience grows big enough, I'm going to start charging. So get in now while it's free. And of course, I always want to hear your stories, triumphs, rants, cake formations, and anything else you want to share. I see a lot of you posting jaw-dropping experiences with frustrating customers. You can call those in anonymously if you like, and it'll be like free therapy to vent it out and know that everyone in the audience sympathizes. And if you want to be interviewed for the show beyond a voicemail message, just let me know. I've got lots of open slots coming up. This show is better with your voice in it. So come on anytime you like. This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.